snake on my back. I keep a red bone on my side.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Friday, April 27th, 2018 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And a wild ride it is. I am your host, Chris Hankley. We are all Road Warriors, those who'd esteem ourselves to be. And as always, feel free to dive into the chat area at roadwarriorradio.chattango.com for interesting and lively discussion. So, lately I feel compelled to, I felt apologetic for, wanting to dive into the historical record. I keep wanting to go back at least 50 or 60 or 70 years to, and more, kind of make sense of what's happening today. And I kept feeling myself wanting to apologize and say, no, you know, it's not the thing that titillates, as I would say. It's not the thing that captures interest and attention, but I don't really care to capture interest and attention or titillate. I would rather inform discretion, the discretion of my fellow Americans, if I may so have the privilege. And so I just kind of, it reoccurred to me this morning that it's the historical record that helps us understand the present and lights our path, sort of lights our way. It's kind of the pavers beneath our feet, and without it, it's difficult to make sense of what's happening. So I think that I will continue to do that, and probably not, probably unapologetically, shall we say. So, in that spirit, we shall sort of continue on from yesterday. There were some things that I left on the table from yesterday, and there's more. So there's a lot of history, especially concerning the CIA, and there are interesting confluences. Things just kind of, you know, I'm sure that if you've done any kind of reading and studying, you find that even in this Vladislav Surkov styled avant-garde theater, you know, experience that we have in this non-linear war nonsense, you know, William Casey's words, when everything the American people believe is false, mission accomplished. You find these confluences of subject matter and things lead back and you have suspicions and you think, well, maybe this, and then that's confirmed. It's interesting. So we'll kind of get to some of that today. But first, some emails. Let's see. This one's interesting. This nonsense about Day of Silence today, on Friday, April 27th, high schools and many middle schools across the country will be hosting the LGBT movement's annual Day of Silence. And, you know, when we had Jonathan Scruggs on from the Alliance Defending Freedom the other day, and again, as I said, when we did that, I would be the first to not to deny the fact that one of the challenging head-scratching issues with organizations like ADF, and it's not the only one, is that you could argue it is sort of a counterpart to advancing a very, what you might call, narrowly circumscribed agenda. And one that sort of goes back to Jan Kozak's book, those 5 points, you know, the book And Not a Shot Is Fired, The Communist Strategy for Subverting a Representative Government, I read, you know, 1957, from, you know, as cited by Ralph Epperson in The Unseen Hand, Chapter 3, Forms of Government. And those 5 steps, you know, step 1, infiltrate the government. Step 2, create a real or alleged grievance that must be solved. Government did something or didn't when it should have. And then 3rd step, you have the mob react, create the reaction to the real or alleged grievance. And the perception that government must do something. Step 4, have the conspirators and government do something. But, you know, the proposed remedy never actually remedies the situation. It actually only makes things worse. And step 5, rinse and repeat. So you could argue that the ADF is sort of a leg of that agenda, you know, one wing of the same bird, as some would put it. And I wouldn't dispute that. But we got to, I think, some good points, some salient points when Jonathan Scruggs was on. And the fact that people should be free to believe whatever they want, you know, as the First Amendment points out, enumerates, doesn't grant anything, but enumerates, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press and for that matter, the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. It's interesting, you know, this identity politics, the LGBT thing, and cultural Marxism, You know, like I was saying when Jonathan Scruggs was on, it's interesting how one, you know, if you're an atheistic, nihilistic, cultural Marxist, then it seems the, you know, we consider the First Amendment applies to you. But if you're a person who disagrees with those people, then suddenly you become, I don't know, a monster with two heads. I mean, literally, the Media Matters video, we played the clip, you know, referred to ADF folks as monsters, which I think is, we could all probably agree, is quite a stretch, you know, to devolve to ad hominem attack rather than speak specifically to the issues is a particularly cowardly act, I would say. But the point is, we should all be able to be free to believe as we see fit, whether right or wrong. And, you know, it's through a process of growth and learning. And again, you know, the writer of Hebrews put it well by, you know, through training, practice, we're supposed to have our senses trained to discern good and evil. Practice, trained to discern good and evil, you know. In another sense, the writer of Proverbs, I think, puts it well. One of my favorite proverbs is in the NASB. I think it's uniquely provocative. Proverbs 12:1, which says, "Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid." And, you know, we would get in trouble for saying that, but God says it, and there it is. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. So discipline, the training of the mental, moral, and physical attributes of the man, of the person. So that is what I think of when I think of you know, the writer of Hebrews saying we're supposed to have our senses trained to discern through practice, have our senses trained, discipline to discern good and evil. And so, you know, again, we come to this issue, technocrats trying to plan our lives better than we can plan them ourselves, going back to Reagan's Time for Choosing speech, 1964, on the Goldwater presidential campaign trail. This is the issue, whether we believe in the, how did he put it? Ronnie Reagan, the time for choosing. This is the issue, whether we believe in our capacity for self-government or whether we abandon the American Revolution and confess that a little intellectual elite in a far distant capital can plan our lives for us better than we can plan them ourselves. That came right after he said, "In this idea that government is beholden to the people, that it has no other source of power except the sovereign people, is still the newest and most unique idea in all the long history of man's relation to man." And I think he believed it. And so when he was, you know, tapped for the White House, I think he still believed it. And, you know, there were obviously some folks in his midst who said, "Wait a second. Remember, you're just an actor, Ronnie." But I digress. So we should all be free to believe as we see fit. Instead of this color revolution all around us, these this day of silence nonsense, in this case, at schools. So this email from the Indiana Family Institute, please join the national effort to restore the public education, restore to public education a proper understanding of the role of government-subsidized schools. that's kind of an oxymoron. You know, take action. Step one, call your local schools, ask blah, blah, blah. Step two, find out what date the event is planned. Step three, inform the school of your intention to keep your children home that day. You know, and so doswalkout.net is the website, corresponding website. But again, this gets back to my point about Ezra Pound's quote, the technique of infamy is to invent two lies and get you arguing heatedly over which one is true. To imagine that Satan is going to cast out Satan, you know. Please join the national effort to restore to public education a proper understanding of the role of government-subsidized schools. Yeah, that's a naive perspective, if that makes sense, to think Satan is going to cast out Satan. The way that the system was constructed was precisely for the purpose of doing what it's doing. And so one of the things that I keep kind of coming back to and not fully mentioning is it's ironic, the issue of freedom of religion. We don't realize how deeply inculcated we are into the religion of technocracy. People don't realize, even good Christian folks. And by the way, a bit of non sequitur I neglected to mention yesterday. Christians, if our walk, our daily walk, is indistinguishable from the heathen, so to speak, then what does that say about our testimony? And, you know, of course, then there are the broader implications. That's an interesting thought. Anyway, and that's for me as much or more than anyone. But we don't realize how deeply inculcated we are into this technocratic religion, or scientism is really kind of the overarching technocratic religion. It is the justification of things. You know, the science and the data, querying of the data tells us all these things. People don't realize it. So think about the healthcare industry, so-called, for instance, and the fact that suddenly, and this has been over a process of time, over the course of time, and a process of beating on your conscience and your psyche, as with everything else. But you know, because you have songs, I mean, I think of the song Metallica. There are a few songs Metallica has done chiding and castigating folks who would stand stand by the courage of their conviction and their faith, in this case, that and belief that because of their faith they can't do certain things that the so-called medical community would advocate, and very ardently in some cases. So suddenly the line gets very gray. At this point, the line is very gray. You know, blood transfusions, transplants of various kinds, and just, you know, all kinds of different things. Now we're getting into the area where I mentioned, you know, wanting to get back to some of the technology. I have in my notes for some future broadcast, Aaron Russo's interview, that excerpt where he says they want to chip you and put all the money on the chip and everything, you know. And you go back in time, there are some interesting and provocative occurrences that have happened. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back. I don't want to get stuck on some lengthy diatribe. By the way, the phone lines are open. It's Friday, 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. So, and I've thought about some of these lessons, you know, speaking of the technocratic nonsense. So scientism, science is a religion. It's interesting. If you don't subscribe to this, this religion, if you are not a faithful adherent at the Church of Scientism, then, you know, you're not just a Luddite, you're a pariah. And, I mean, I said it at the beginning of this year, I'm not the only one, not the first. Probably not the last. It's going to be interesting, but I think we're going to be faced with some, confronted really, with some interesting and difficult decisions this year and certainly going forward between now and 2020 and then to 2030. There's some very disturbing things happening. Bad guys are getting very impatient. They're getting very tired of waiting. And so, you know, there's a hardcore push. So, you know, speaking of Aaron Russo talking about, you know, they want to chip you and put all money and stuff on it. There was, you know, that was 2006, I believe. Same year, James Lewis over at CSIS, as I always mention, that PowerPoint presentation. I'm going to have to pull that up. That's on media storage somewhere, I think. Anyway, James Lewis's PowerPoint presentation back in 2006, I want to say, where he admitted, as I paraphrase, what you see now, that whole grain of rice thing is basically a sales pitch. It was a as a way to soften the public up. It was something to say no to in sales terms. And the real stuff that you people will say yes to is coming. It's only a matter of time. And then then there's the whole, Bruce Wiseman's article series about the subprime contagion was no accident. His article series over at Canada Free Press, I think he did a great job. Then shortly thereafter, you have the subprime contagion, which was orchestrated. Then 6 weeks after that, you have Bitcoin, Satoshi Nakamoto. What a coincidence. Who is Kaiser Soze? And then shortly thereafter, you had the swine flu nonsense in 2009. May of 2009, I want to say, and the aide to Energy Secretary Stephen Chu came back, was sick, was recovering, and it was, I think it was Robert Gibbs, press secretary, who said highly, highly, highly unlikely that, he's contagious and anyone else will get sick. But the country panicked and freaked out because it was encouraged to. Ah, problem, reaction. Then Verichip, just a few months after, I think September, June was a big freak out, the nothing burger, as Hillary would say, the non-event. And by September, Verichip was saying, hey, we have a chip that can detect swine flu. And everybody went, oh my, what? And they went, oh, sorry, is that too soon? And I talked about that story and the fact that that's odd because it takes a long time to get through R&D on a product like that, unless, of course, well, you know. And then shortly that after that, I think 2 months after that, I think it was November, Verichip bought Steel Vault, and they merged to create Positive ID, the company that can put all of your health, your medical, your credit information and history all on one chip that they can stick in you. And, maybe that's the one that can detect swine flu. You walk into the hospital and there's a little scanner that you walk through, beep, and it tells you, what is it, Mr. Nakamoto, I think, Tom Cruise in Minority Report. Good afternoon, Mr. Nakamoto. It looks like your, here's your heart rate. Here's your BP. Here's, your cholesterol's a little high today, it looks like. And so on and so on. And so, you come in for a screening and then as you walk out, you're billed obviously through the implant. Fun stuff. That was 2009. So there's the recent cryptocurrency hysteria. Hopefully we'll circle back around and talk about that. And as I said, if you ever hear me on the cryptocurrency bandwagon, you know that I've been body snatched. It's not me. Because I believe it's the Revelation 13 currency of the transhumanist, posthumanist future, so to speak, which is now. And there's more. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75% dandruff. Almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. May 5th is the last day you will hear this offer on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful wish I was special. You're so very special. But I'm a creep. I'm a widow. What the hell am I doing here?
Welcome back.
I want to have control.
So there's all that stuff, you know, the things that I mentioned. And then, of course, there's that whole wearables to implantables thing. There's stuff like, you know, I've mentioned numerous stories about this over the years. You know, NBC predicts all Americans will receive a microchip implant in 2017 per Obamacare. Top 10 implantable wearables soon to be in your body. Wearable tech will become implantable tech. That was businesscloud.co.uk magazine. Monster.com, which, you know, Monster. Are we monsters? Are we human? Forget wearables. Implantables could be the future of tech jobs. I get asked on a regular basis. I've done web programming for a million years in web years. Since I got out of the mortgage industry back after the subprime contagion, and I realized we were stealing from our parents and grandparents' 401ks, and so that's probably not a good idea. But I've been asked a million times, well, why don't you just build an app? Why don't you start building apps? I won't do it. I was thinking about it yesterday. What about just building something that, I don't know, is useful on a limited basis? But you open source something and who knows? Suddenly it rolls out and it's used for very nefarious purposes. Who knows? Anyway, monster.com, forget wearables. Implantables could be the future of tech jobs. So that was an article a while back. And then, of course, you have things like this. We played the clip of Scott Klosaki. We play that every once in a while. It's the talk in particular, Scott Klosaki, Digital Transformation of Humanity and Gaming. Scott Klosaki speaking at the September 2016 Global Gaming Expo. Remember last time we played that clip? And he says, digital transformation means we have to understand this is just the first step. It's the first step. We're going to move from mobile to wearables to implantables, as he said. So mobile, like phone, to wearables, which you're seeing, all the watches now that are the rage, the Fitbit in particular, I don't understand. It's so ridiculous. The Fitbit nonsense is absolutely ridiculous. Seeing people wear it, it does nothing to improve the quality of their lives, really. And I don't feel like I'm being sensational. You ask these people, for example, a person who considers himself unhealthy, overweight, they get a Fitbit and suddenly, oh my goodness, I can measure my steps every day. And that's fantastic, I suppose. But then what is the appreciable benefit or what is the appreciable difference that you can attribute only to this device that you're wearing now that you didn't have before? Because it seems to me in the overwhelming number of cases, except for the sales pitch, the overwhelming number of cases that I have personally seen, people I know who get these stupid things that wear them, it didn't do anything. It hasn't created any kind of change. There is no awareness that suddenly makes them go, oh, I need to whatever lifestyle change that results in a healthier, less overweight or more, whatever sort of physiology and lifestyle. It doesn't do that, which is a fascinating fact. Fascinating observation. I don't know. Am I wrong? If you have an example, please let me know. Feel free to call in, for example. But this is my observation. I know several people who wear these silly things. And it's interesting when people know that I have this view, for example, and they say, well, I know what you would say, but I like it. I think it works. Okay, well, what does it do? What appreciable benefit or change has it created in your life that we can attribute only to that device? In other words, had you not had this, gosh, who knows? You never would have walked more. You never would have ate less or differently. It's absurd. But this is the conditioning. And again, getting back to Bertrand Russell's words from The Impact of Science on Society, people won't know where their beliefs come from, don't know why they have them, can't articulate them, but here we are. Like Scott Klosaki said, we're going to move from mobile to wearables to implantables. Where are we now on that continuum? We're pretty close to solidly in wearables ground. And again, 2006, James Lewis, the Rice, Granny Rice thing, that was a sales pitch. And speaking of implantables, I mentioned recently Fox News, the story, they keep running these stories on opioid epidemic, and they did a couple of them last year, big ones. And that, the implant provision in Obamacare, that was the big, oh, it's nothing, but it's something, which seems to be, I said last time, an end run on the specific language we've seen over the years, like the language in H.R. 3200. Which allegedly got thrown out, an early draft of the ACA. people got excited over, you know, specifically a class 2 device that is implantable, life supporting or life sustaining. See what I mean though? The line gets, it gets very gray. Oh, well, it's, you know, well, it's a pacemaker. Sure. But you know, the same conversation, I mean, remember what was that movie? The Repo Men? You know, reminds me of the conversation that Miller in New York and I were having yesterday. Turn off your car, turn off your pacemaker with the same technology. No one would ever do that. Really? Then you don't know the people who were behind the Hitler war machine, for example, during World War II. You haven't been paying attention to history very well. Again, Edwin Black's War Against the Weak. You know, Glenn Beck's interview of Edwin Black was pretty good too, that you can find on YouTube, 40 minutes or whatever. All of that is, you know, again, this is instructive. This is history that lights our path, lights our way. And if we ignore these lessons of history, then we do so to our peril. You know, the cliche, Santayana. The life of reason. Again, over 100 years ago. So we live in a progressive era, right? We're much smarter. We're much better. Well, Santayana wrote, progress, far from consisting in change, depends on retentiveness. So are we progressive? Do we retain? When change is absolute, there remains no being to improve, and no direction is set for possible improvement. And when experience is not retained, as among savages, infancy is perpetual. Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. And again, I hear the lessons of Jaron Lanier, especially in You Are Not a Gadget, a manifesto. And that cult of scientism and technocracy, you know, the technology world, and how it just sort of lends itself to that sort of infantile behavior, that sort of infantilism. It's cool to, you know, have your open work environment painted in bright primary colors like a nursery, you know, a little nursery school or something. And name it something that sounds like it came out of some kind of a nursery rhyme, as Jaron Lanier pointed out. So progress, far from consisting in change, depends on retentiveness. And when experience is not retained, as among savages, infancy is perpetual. Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. So we have these lessons. Folks in positions of power, I mean, again, you know, I saw another commercial for BASF yesterday and thought the same thing. IG Farben, IBM, numbering folks. Here we are again. Class 2 device that is implantable, life-supporting or life-sustaining. You know, and you can find the language dated December 10, 2004, on FDA.gov. As I have mentioned previously. So the after, you know, bills like HR 3200 were broken apart and piecemealed into other legislation, as is customary. I mean, we just saw that in the omnibus bill, didn't we? Among other notable examples. And here we are. So you have those kinds of examples. And, you know, again, Bill Joy's article citing Ted Kaczynski and his manifesto, as quoted by Kurzweil, by the way, in The Age of Spiritual Machines back in 99. That's provocative. You have Aaron and Melissa Dykes. Documentary Obsolete, same title basically, you know, Bill Joy's 2000 Wired article, Why the Future Doesn't Need Us, And then, you know, we've played that George Friedman talk at Brain Bar Budapest, and Budapest is an interesting place to do that, on technology in general, how it's always military, how it's always for the purposes of weaponry, weaponizing it against the people. And that's the irony. It's, you know, in Stockholm syndrome fashion, wave after wave of folks adopting something that is deleterious to their existence, that is it's inimical to your existence, my existence, but we keep adopting this stuff and helping advance this movement, really sort of in scientism fashion and technocratic fashion. It's really disturbing when you see it clearly. And then, like I said, you know, so with what's the point of all this? Well, again, getting back to Aaron Russo's point, over 10 years ago, they want to put a chip in everyone and put all of their money on it. And you know what? If you don't go along, and this is, again, another fact of antiquity, basically. This is nothing new because, again, Hayek's Road to Serfdom, Chapter 9, Security and Freedom, he opens with those quotes, Lenin and Trotsky. The whole of society will become a single office and a single factory with equality of work and equality of pay. That means the implications of that quote are far more reaching than most people, especially in America, I think would like to admit or fathom. And then Trotsky, in a country where the sole employer is the state, opposition means death by slow starvation. The old principle, who does not work shall not eat, has been replaced by a new one, who does not obey shall not eat. And it's easier when someone is chipped in. So you have the discussion from, again, decades ago, collapsing the dollar, replacing it with the IMF SDR, and again, that's, I think, a fact that, if I'm not mistaken, Ralph Epperson quoted from the 70s, late 70s, like 77, in The Unseen Hand. And so now you have the nexus of that concept and cryptocurrency, which obviously lends itself to, you know, moving from wearables to implantables, which we've seen. And so, you know, you can see coming the next crash where bad guys in William Devil Bill Rockefeller fashion say, hey, you know, the dollar is crashing. Oops, sorry about that. But, you know, here's a special deal for you for a limited time only. You can transition into cryptocurrency or something other than this paper thing. I got a special deal for you. It'll only cost you your soul. That's all. Anyway, then there's all the social media stuff. The you know, Mark Zuckerberg's recent testimony, and there are some points that should be mentioned, I suppose, as far as that's concerned. You know, you have all of the articles, you know, we should play some excerpts. I think I want to do a segment where we play some of the most provocative excerpts and lies, really, from Zuckerberg's latest testimony and the House and Senate testimony. And, you know, all of the articles. I saw one recently, a little less social media is healthier. And I thought, well, then is a lot less, a lot healthier? You have the warnings from guys like Sean Parker, Simon Sinek, Chamath Palihapitiya, Zeynep Tufekci, Adam Curry's point about over-socialization. We should play, maybe we'll play Jaron Lanier's TED Talk, because I said I would do that. I asked, you know, why isn't Jaron Lanier at the House and Senate hearings, Senate and House hearings, whatever, when Zuckerberg was testifying? And ironically, he was giving a TED Talk. And it's funny how all of his other TED Talks have all but been expunged from the historical record. I wonder why. Anyway, stick around. We'll be right back.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read a few from Amazon.com. Dr. Sam Serino reviewed the Extendivite product. Good ingredients, feeling much better since taking product. It seems that the tablets work well. Once again, thank you for your product. My acid reflux has really improved thanks to the Extendivite. Together with my thumb joints, the pain is gone and I'm able to grip things much better. My friend has peripheral arterial disorder, and their lower legs were hurting at a red color, but thankfully, there has been a significant improvement. Kind regards, Janice. My husband feels a big difference using Extendivite. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. You know, I don't mean to go on an existentialist rant. I really don't. But, you know, hopefully, and we got to get back to the history stuff, and we probably will. But, you know, speaking of those names, I mean, I mentioned some of them. Look at all the warnings we've seen just in the last few months. Like I said, Sean Parker, Simon Sinek, Chamath Palihapitiya, Zeynep Tofeky, you know, and high-level executives or, you know, angel investors like Roger McNamee, Sandy Perikilis, Tristan Harris, folks like that. You know, and then there was the Cambridge Analytica nonsense we've heard. The real story there was that article that was first written across the pond titled The Data That Turned the World Upside Down. It was republished over at Stanford. And focusing on Michael Kaczynski's work. And that story, you notice how that just sort of got memory hold? It's kind of interesting. But then... And we keep hearing about all this Cambridge Analytica. Oh, my goodness. They helped steal the 2016 election. And then you have Carol Davidson coming out and saying, we did that. The Obama 2012 Obama campaign. We did that and a whole lot. That's old news. That's old technology. So, I mean, and again, that's something that just seems to kind of get lost in the kerfuffle. Carol Davidson. What was the article? News.com.au. Facebook, Cambridge Analytica data breach. Carol Davidson reveals Obama campaign's data use. So, and, you know, and then folks, you keep digging further and you hear, oh, yeah, you know, the Bush campaign was doing similar things, you know, even earlier. So, It's all nonsense. And people, gosh, it's fascinating how, again, when we're so dumbed down, when we're so duped, when we're so beguiled, everything is Clark's third law. It's all magic, indistinguishable from, you know, sufficiently advanced technology. Not realizing, you know, well, I'll finish that thought on the in the second hour here coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back.
There's an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.